Well, World War III has begun. Stolen elections have consequences. And the criminals who rigged the election to put Joe Biden into the White House have now achieved what they wanted, which was a war with Russia. It has begun. This is a situation update, February 24th. It is a Thursday of the year 2022. And let it be known for history's sake that this war began 2 days ago on 2/22/2022, a Tuesday, because that was the day that Putin recognized the breakaway regions of Donetsk and Luhansk in the Donbass region, southeastern Ukraine, right there on the kind of northeastern tip of the Black Sea. And from there, now, things have escalated. So here's where we are right now. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to cover today the fact that Trudeau in Canada has rescinded the Emergency Powers Act. He was forced to do so. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in Ukraine, Russia has launched a series of precision strikes on Ukrainian anti-aircraft missile systems and military infrastructure, airfields, aircraft, and so on. Basically, Russia is taking out the entire Ukrainian military infrastructure. In fact, it's done. It's already done. By the time you hear this, it is done. The troop movements from Russia appear to be concentrated in the Donbass region, where Putin is moving in perhaps tens of thousands of troops. It's not yet clear the exact number. And there are rumors that there have been amphibious assaults against Odessa and another port on the southern edge of Ukraine. We're going to get to that. But right now, it looks like these are precision strikes against military targets. These are not Russian bombings of civilian targets. They're not bombing the cities, which, you know, the left-wing media in America is hyperventilating. Oh, my God, it's a full scale. It's not exactly that. Now, it is pretty damn scary if you're there and you hear the bombs. No doubt about that. It's a danger zone. But it's not Russia unleashing attacks on civilians or cities or waging a full-scale invasion against the entire nation of Ukraine, at least not yet. Perhaps it will escalate to that, but that's not what it is as of right now. It's precision strikes on military targets to disable Ukraine's, basically disable their entire response capability so that as Russia occupies the Donbass region, Ukraine has no capability to retaliate against Russia. That's essentially what we're looking at here. Now, Putin has put out a very aggressive warning against any other nations that are considering getting involved. Like, oh, I don't know, the United States or NATO countries. Putin said, quote, to anyone who would consider interfering from the outside, if you do, you will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history. All relevant decisions have been taken. I hope you hear me. So let me bring you just an overview of some things I've gathered from some different websites, including Zero Hedge and some tweets from different officials and so on. Here's the best that I can tell. And of course, I'm trying to weed out all the propaganda, which is difficult in this case, because number one, you can't trust, you know, RT, Russia Today, because they're, you know, run by Russia. And at the same time, you can't trust the White House because, well, it's the White House. I mean, these are the lunatics who stole the election and are murdering the American people with vaccines and so on. So who can you trust? You can't trust the left-wing media and you can't trust the Russian media. And there's not a lot of independent media with people on the ground right there. That's the difficult part, is we don't have a lot of people there. Like when it comes to Canada, you know, you can turn to Rebel News. They've got reporters on the ground, you know, getting shot at and beaten and assaulted by Ottawa police, or at least as of a few days ago. But in the Donbass region, I don't know of any independent media organization that has personnel right there on the ground who could tell us what's going on. So the information is very difficult to come by. But here are some conclusions. Russia says it's targeting Ukraine's anti-aircraft systems. Ukraine's announcing martial law. And I did hear from someone in Ukraine yesterday who said that so far the martial law is kind of a soft martial law. It hadn't been enforced aggressively, but that might change today. Russia says there's no threat to the Ukrainian civilian population. The Ukraine president says that Russia carried out missile strikes on Ukrainian infrastructure and also against border guards, Ukrainian military personnel, on the border of the disputed regions. And Russian-backed rebels, that's the people of in the Donbass region, you know, of Donetsk and Luhansk, they say that the attack, there has been an attack on a Ukraine-controlled town near Luhansk. Now, Tulsi Gabbard here in America has said, she's actually stated what we should all be saying, quote, "This war and suffering could have easily been avoided if the Biden administration slash NATO had simply acknowledged Russia's legitimate security concerns regarding Ukraine becoming a member of NATO, which would mean U.S. NATO forces right on Russia's border." So what Tulsi Gabbard is saying, and what I'd like to emphasize here, is that Joe Biden drove Russia to this war on purpose. And, well, it wasn't just Joe Biden. It was his handlers and NATO influences and so on. But at any time, Biden could have said, oh, yeah, Russia, you have the right to your own border security. And we had promised years ago that NATO would not expand to include Ukraine. But no, Biden just kept pushing and pushing and pushing because, you know, he's a demented, cocky son of a bitch who's never had to face repercussions for anything that he's done in his life, the lies, the fraud, the kickbacks, the treason, all of it. But I think things are changing. And I think Putin has had enough of Biden, haven't we all at this point? And Putin just basically called a bluff and ran out of patience and said, guess what? We're going to take care of our own border security. And that's what he is doing right now, you know, from his point of view. Now, of course, Ukraine is announcing that it is a, quote, full-scale invasion of the nation of Ukraine. And Ukraine is very unlikely, though, to be able to do anything about it, since Ukraine's military, or at least the aircraft and airfields and so on, appear to have been decimated in the last few hours. So Putin is now calling on all Ukrainian soldiers to lay down their weapons and go home, saying that they won't be messed with. Just go home. This isn't a war against civilians. Putin says, in the case of foreign interference, Russia will react immediately. We're going to talk about that more in a second. Russian forces are entering Ukraine from Crimea in the south. That comes from Fox News. So there is action in the Black Sea, or, you know, across the Black Sea. And that's also consistent with reports that there's been an amphibious invasion of Odessa and one other port. Putin says the responsibility for any bloodshed is on the conscience of the Ukrainian regime. So, you know, of course, this is a dispute. The Ukrainian government says, no, this is a full-scale invasion. There are major cyber attacks being waged right now against Ukrainian banks and websites, and government sites, and so on. And, of course, bandwidth is suffering quite extensively across Ukraine, because much of the infrastructure is under attack. So it's increasingly difficult to get reports out of Ukraine or video footage. There are reports that the United States is now moving government officials to deep underground military bases, the so-called DUMs. Remember those? So, you know, there are underground cities and tunnel systems and vast networks underneath the ground, and in some cases, I don't know, many, many, many levels deep. I don't know exactly how deep they go. That's probably classified, but top government officials are being moved into the underground bases. And the reason that's happening is because they anticipate a nuclear counterstrike against the United States. And this is the very troubling upshot of all this, which is that, you know, Putin is warning America, don't meddle with this issue on, you know, border disputes with Ukraine and breakaway regions and so on. Well, this Joe Biden wants to meddle. Joe Biden wants the United States to be involved in this because he wants Putin to react. And my theory is that he wants Putin to nuke the United States. So that's the actual goal here from Obama and Biden, is to have the United States destroyed by Russia and this is the way they're attempting to achieve it. So let's see. Yeah, President Joe Biden is being evacuated to a bunker. Ukrainian military command centers in Kiev have been attacked by missile strikes. The naval forces of Ukraine have reportedly been destroyed in the Black Sea. Amphibious assault at Mariupol and Odessa. So troops have landed there. Russian troops have landed there. And it is on. So I want you to, let's take a moment to just pause here and think about how this affects all of us, how this affects the world. Think about the things that I covered over the last several days. This is going to cause a skyrocketing in prices of certain things like oil. Of course, gold and silver are going to spike up probably quite significantly. It's going to cause increases in the prices of aluminum and copper and cobalt, lithium, and what other manganese and other minerals that are produced there in Ukraine. And in addition, food prices are going to continue to skyrocket because, as we covered yesterday, Ukraine produces a tremendous amount of food, even more than I had realized. They produce a lot of wheat and some corn and soy as well, but a lot of wheat that feeds not only the Middle East, but nations in Southeast Asia as well. And some nations depend very heavily on Ukraine for wheat production. So this will have a global impact because as supplies dwindle due to this chaos or conflict or lack of certainty, you're going to see more pressure put on other wheat suppliers around the world. Wheat prices are going to go up, which means food prices are going to rise in the grocery store. So all of this is going to spell, oh, and did I say oil? Oil is going to skyrocket. So it's all going to spell higher gasoline prices, which are already through the roof, higher food prices, which are already insane, higher prices for housing construction, electrical wires, you know, copper, aluminum, infrastructure for building anything, commercial buildings, vehicles, tractors, you know, you name it, everything is going to go up from here forward. In fact, what you have lived through, what we've all lived through in the last 2 years appears to have been just the warm-up round for what's coming next. It's not looking good. So exactly as I predicted now, ABC News, I think it was, put out a tweet and a claim that, oh, all this inflation and the supply chain disruptions, it's due to Russia attacking Ukraine. As if Joe Biden's money printing and failed economic policies had nothing to do with this whatsoever. And it is exactly as I described, that Biden needs this war in order to cover up his failed economic policies and all the homelessness and the increased violence and lawlessness, you know, crime all over the country. Well, especially in the cities, you know, food inflation, all these things. He's got to have a cover story. So the cover story is now Russia. Once again, Russia is the scapegoat for everything. Now, do you remember yesterday or the day before when I said, and I said this live with Alan Keyes on the IMTV broadcast on Tuesday, by the way, that was broadcast on Brighton.tv. And I said, there are three targets of the cyber attacks that I believe will be waged by the U.S. deep state, but blamed on Russia. And I don't know if you saw that, but I said there are three targets. One is the banking infrastructure. Two is the telecommunications infrastructure. And then the third one, I almost forgot it, but it's the power grid infrastructure, which is essentially the most important. So I named those three things on Tuesday. Well, yesterday, our Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said, oh, there's going to be crippling cyber attacks on the United States waged by Russia. And he said that we have to be prepared, get this, for cyber attacks against our banks, comma, communications, comma, power plants, comma, and water treatment facilities. So he named my three. And then he added water plants, basically, which I did not have on my list. I think if you lose all your banks and all your telecom and all your power grid, you know, water treatment is the least of your concerns at that point. You know, you're going to be trying to survive against the cannibals and the zombies at that, you know, it's a full full-blown zombie apocalypse. That's like, get out your flamethrower time at that point. So I find it fascinating that in so many cases, what I'm telling you is about to happen here, then days later, ABC News says the exact thing. Oh, this, you know, inflation is all due to Russia. Or that the Secretary of Homeland Security literally says my list, like a day after I said it, or 2 days after, I guess it's a day after I said it, in the same order that I said it. It's like, is he watching my interview with Alan Keyes? I doubt it, but it seems like a strange coincidence. So Mayorkas says Russia's going to be attacking the banks and telecom and power plants with cyber warfare. But what I'm saying is, no, that's going to be the U.S. deep state. Now, if either one of us is correct, if I'm right or Mayorkas is right, we're in a heap of trouble, folks. We're in a heap of trouble. I mean, this may be it. This may be, like, literally, if you're able to hear this podcast, this might be the last podcast you're going to be able to get from me for a while. Or maybe tomorrow's will be the last podcast, or who knows? How many days do we have remaining to function as a society? We don't know the answer to that. And so part of what I want to get across here in today's podcast is just how difficult life is about to become. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. As you know, I don't do that. And we're going to all have to be ready to live in a society with extremely high fuel prices, much higher than what we're seeing now. Extremely high prices, well, for everything from food to vehicles to heating, electricity, energy, all of it, because it appears that the entire chapter of easy money and, you know, global bullying by the United States, that chapter, that era has come to an end. Life is about to get much more difficult for the American people from this day forward. Mark my words, that's where we are. Now, we're going to return to some of this discussion here about Russia, but I want to cover the situation in Canada as well. And I also want to bring in, even though we might be in the middle of World War III, we still have sponsors, and they deserve your attention if you want some solutions. So today's sponsors are the satellite phone store, which right now suddenly makes a ton of sense to have backup communications, with Mayorkas talking about somebody may take out our telecom grid, right? So it'd be a good idea to consider backup communications. Check out sat123.com. That's sat123.com for satellite phones that are essentially free on a 12-month contract. You get a certain number of minutes per month, and they roll over and accumulate if you don't use them. And you can use these phones for emergencies or even for non-emergencies, just when traveling where you don't have cell towers and so on. And they also have two-way satellite text messaging devices called Bivy Sticks that you can check out there. That's, again, sat123.com. In addition, we have Dawson Knives, and they have their sale continuing for a few more days, 15% off. Use discount code PRESADAMS, that's PRESADAMS, try it in all caps, I think, or maybe it's not case sensitive. Get 15% off their MagnaCut and CPM 3V swords and blades, survival knives. These are knives and blades that will last a lifetime with extraordinary advanced alloys that are so much more advanced than even what, like, the Japanese samurai used to create with all their steel folding techniques, you know, what, 1,000 years ago, or however long that goes back. But DawsonKnives.com is the place to check that out. And both of these sponsors, I think, deserve a look because of what we're facing right now. We are truly facing a survival / emergency situation unfolding. And it really is just as I warned. You know, Biden wants this war with Russia so that Biden can declare a national emergency in the United States. He wants an emergency so he can achieve gun confiscation, or he can imprison his political enemies, or he can cancel the midterm elections because the Democrats are about to get hammered hard. So Biden wants the emergency powers that Trudeau invoked but that now Trudeau has backed away from. So let's talk about that story for a moment. All right. The facts of the matter are that just what, 2 days ago, a little over 2 days ago, Parliament, Canada's Parliament voted to approve the emergency powers that Trudeau was using to seize people's bank accounts, right? Smash in the windows of their trucks, arrest people for being peaceful protesters. Basically, Trudeau said that, oh, it's an emergency, therefore we don't have to respect any civil rights or human rights or even laws, that we are now dictators and tyrants and we'll do whatever the hell we want because we're the government and we declare it's an emergency. Well, there's been so much pushback against that, that there was about to be a major crisis inside the Liberal Party in Canada. They were about to have a massive revolt and they were just on the verge of having a vote that would have, in essence, forced a revocation of the Emergencies Act. And it would have been extremely politically devastating to Trudeau and his party. So because that was imminent, Trudeau backed down. And of course, he's going to claim like, oh, well, we decided that we don't need the emergency anymore and we're still the good guys and we're your compassionate government leaders here to take care of you. So we're going to give you back your civil liberties. And you know what? I think the people of Canada and most of the people around the world are saying, Justin Castro Trudeau, truck you. We don't believe you anymore. You are no longer trusted. You have zero credibility because you shouldn't have taken away people's civil rights in the first place. And the other question that's raised in all of this, you know, in addition to like, whoa, when did it suddenly become where the government can just loot your bank account because you donated to a peaceful protest? And how did that get into the mix here? But the bigger question is, couldn't Trudeau just declare another emergency tomorrow? Maybe Trudeau will say, oh gosh, Russia is bombing Ukraine, therefore it's another emergency in Canada and we're back to emergencies. You know, national emergency, part two, part three, part four. These become kind of like vaccine booster shots. It's like, don't you want a third one? And don't you want a fourth one? Come on, roll up your sleeves. Get another one. It's a subscription service. The problem is that the government of Canada continues to assert that it has this power to take away all civil liberties on a whim. I mean, just by saying that, oh, we think things are bad, we're going to have to do it. How did that power get put into the hands of the government? And the answer is the government just gave itself that power and then people went along with it. And therein lies the problem. And by the way, the same situation is true in the United States. The U.S. government can declare an emergency at any time and give themselves extraordinary powers to round people up and throw you into COVID camps, take away your right to speak, take away your freedom, indefinite detention under the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, first signed into law under Barack Obama. I think that was in 2012 or right around that year, maybe 11. Yeah. So what Trudeau actually demonstrated for all of us is that he's still a dangerous dictator slash tyrant. He may have backed off from his emergency, but all of us realize the bigger emergency is that governments are tyrants. That's the real emergency here, is that these governments will usurp these rights at any time they want. And they can do it without justification. So the only real solution to this is, of course, a global dismantling of the cabal, taking down the anti-human globalists, the fascists, Marxists slash WEF Nazis and so on, who are trying to destroy human civilization and trying to take down Western nations such as Canada and the United States. Ultimately, none of us are safe as long as these fascist governments are in charge of anything. Ultimately, they have to be dismantled and removed from power. So Sheila Gunn Reid, I think she's from Rebel News, tweeted out, Trudeau rescinded it because too many Senate liberals were about to break ranks with the party very publicly. It would have been catastrophic for libs after Trudeau expended so much political capital to charge people and hold them without bail with the crime of horn honking. So, I mean, didn't he just invoke it 10 or 11 days ago? And there's some crazy libtard Canadian lawmaker who said that honk honk, she said it's code for Heil Hitler or something like that. What? What? What planet are you from, crazy woman? Honk honk means Heil Hitler? Are you? Seriously. These people are delusional and they have to continue to create, you know, fear in their own minds, and then they try to project it onto everybody else. You should be very afraid of the racist honking that's going on. Oh my God. Every horn that honks, it's like screaming racial insults to everybody. It's like screaming white supremacy. Like, that's why they're called honkies, I guess, right? Okay, whatever. So one of my big questions is, since this national emergency has passed now, well, then what about all the money that the government seized from people's bank accounts? Will that be returned? Huh? Is all the money going to be given back to people now, magically? And what about the people that were arrested and held without bail? Are they going to be released now on bail? Are they going to be given a fair trial, a fair day in court, legal representation? Probably not. They're going to be held in filthy jails as political prisoners. And if the government does arrange for some of the money to be returned to the bank accounts from which they were seized, what do you think those people are going to do the minute they get their money back? They're going to rush down to the bank and say, give me all my money, you criminals. So you thieves. You took it once. You can take it again. I'm taking it out. Going to go stuff dollars under my mattress or something. I'm not going to leave it in your bank, you lunatics. No, seriously, think about the lesson that everybody has learned who's watching this. The lesson is your money is never safe in any bank that expresses its currency in the fiat currency of the government, because the government will always order the bank to do whatever they want. The government will steal from you. The government will loot your accounts without due process whatsoever, and they can do it at any time by just declaring an emergency. Okay, so let's shift back to Russia here for a minute and World War III. Well, actually for the rest of this podcast, which might be shorter than most. I've got information from another source I'm going to share with you, but this is not confirmed, so I can't say that this is absolutely going to happen, but here's what this information says. It says that Russia is planning on nuking the United States. And the timeline that's going to lead to that is there's going to be cyber attacks on military cyber infrastructure, i.e. Radar systems, communication systems, you know, missile defense systems and so on. But more importantly, the command and control military systems that are described here as C3. I don't know what C3 means, but I guess that's a military term. C3 systems will be targeted. And once they are down and the banking systems are sufficiently disrupted, then Putin will attack military targets in the continental United States using nuclear weapon systems. That's the warning. I can't say that that's, again, I don't have a confirmation on this from any other source, but I am passing this along because, well, we're in the beginning of World War III, and these possibilities are very real and need to be considered. Whether the actual risk of that happening is, you know, 1% or 99%, I can't say. But I can say not a good time to live on a military base. Or near one. And what I can say with confidence, which is sort of the focus of the rest of this, is economic hell is about to become a reality for most Americans. Economic hell. And, you know, I don't like to dwell on gloom. It's kind of hard not to be negative at the beginning of World War III. You know, we can't avoid acknowledging what's happening. So I'm just going to give it to you the best way I can here. There's a Russian ambassador, Anatoly Antonov, and he posted on Facebook on Wednesday. And he's saying that ordinary U.S. citizens are about to feel the pain of sanctions and high prices and supply chain disruptions and so on. Let me explain what he's saying. So this quote, there's no doubt that the sanctions imposed against us, the Russians, will hurt the global financial and energy markets. The United States will not be left out, he says, where ordinary citizens will feel the full consequences of rising prices. With regard to Moscow, new U.S. sanctions will not solve anything. Russia has learned to work and develop under restrictions. And then Russia's foreign ministry added another statement, and this is published on Sputniknews.com, quote, there should be no doubts the sanctions, he's referring to Western sanctions that are about to be deployed against Russia, the sanctions will result in a strong response, not necessarily symmetric, but well-calculated and painful for the American side. And so what I want to get to here is, of course, you know, number one, I'm not falling for, you know, Russian ambassador propaganda, but there is an element of truth to what he's saying that cannot be denied. And that is that the American people have grown fat and lazy and comfortable over many, well, generations of easy money, a debt-based economy, easy money, easy supply chains, affordable food, affordable fuel. Everything is available. The click of a button on your app. You know, everything just comes to you. And drones and Amazon vans and robots rolling down the sidewalk. It's just sit on your couch and press buttons and everything just comes to you, including stimulus checks, by the way. And through this process, and this is true, the American people, by and large, not everybody, but by and large, have become, you know, lazy and comfortable and sedentary, and they've lost their ability to survive under harsh circumstances. And I've even done podcasts on this, maybe a year or two ago, had a podcast that was something like, those who lived a hard life will have an easier time in a survival scenario, but those who live an easy life will have a hard time when it comes to survival. Well, that's essentially what this Russian ambassador is saying. But he's also adding that the Russian people themselves have had to live under sanctions for a very long time. You know, really decades in some form or another, even since the fall of the Soviet Union or before that. In fact, there are most Russians living today have probably never lived in a time where there weren't some kind of sanctions against either the USSR or modern-day Russia, right? So the Russian people have grown used to living under economic hardship, difficult supply chains, and they are not lazy and comfortable and fat and used to having everything delivered to them at low cost with high efficiency, with instant gratification, and so on and so forth. So the Russian people are far more suited to enduring the kinds of economic pain and supply chain disruptions that are characteristic of war. Whereas the American people, you know, they lose their minds when the battery level on their iPhone gets down to 4%. It's like, or the internet goes down, you know, the Wi-Fi password is lost or whatever. They lose their minds. The American people are going to have a very difficult adjustment curve for living during hard times. And this is where the preppers are really going to shine. And this is a critical time to have a prepper mindset. We are going into world war, it looks like. Things are going to be in short supply. The things you can get are going to be extremely expensive. Double, triple, quadruple what you're used to paying. The food supply chain is going to be extremely disrupted. And if the banks are taken out from either the cyber attacks of the U.S. deep state or the cyber attacks of Russia, well, then all bets are off at that point. That's when things collapse very rapidly into a, I don't know, like a pre-19th century existence. It's like no electricity, No fuel, no food, no transactions, no payroll, nothing. And at that point, you know, 9 meals away from anarchy, as they say, food riots, cities burning down, lawlessness. Yeah, those are the scenarios that now appear to be quite near to us, shall we say. Now, I used to be one of those fat, lazy, comfortable Americans as well, until I moved outside the country and lived in other nations and learned other languages and met other people and saw how they lived. And I saw, when I lived in Taiwan, I saw how hard people worked in Taiwan. I saw that, you know, they don't have a homelessness problem and they don't have a garbage problem there. Not anything like we have, because in Taiwan, at least when I lived there, you could collect cardboard on the streets and turn in cardboard for money. And so every so-called homeless person would actually run around picking up all the cardboard from all over the streets, and they would turn it in and they would get enough pay to have shelter, you know, kind of like a low-cost shelter arrangement or a soup kitchen or someplace they could buy a meal and so on. And whereas in America, look at the streets of Seattle or Portland or Los Angeles or Detroit, just an ocean of drug addiction and homelessness and crime and violence and destitution and disease. Why? Because that's the way the liberals want it. They want the ongoing emergency. But I saw how people live in other countries, and I also saw in South America how very low-tech living can be accomplished. In fact, it was one of the most important lessons of my life was learning from the local Ecuadorian people how to get things done when you have no access to tools or parts. Simple things like, how do you fix a broken hose when you don't have hose clamps? Yeah, well, they have a way to do it. They taught me that way. I actually did a video on that and put it on my prepwithmike.com website, I believe, how to fix hoses using nothing but a nail and a baling wire. Learned that in Ecuador. And then, inspired by a lot of that, I also learned how to grow more of my own food, because everybody in rural Ecuador, and this is true across many regions of South America, every family knows how to grow some of their own food. Not the city folks, but the, you know, the country folks. If they have chickens, they'll raise pigs, slaughter them themselves, which is a horrifying sight to behold, or just to hear when an Ecuadorian family is slaughtering a pig. They do that on certain holidays, and it's like, oh my God. It's like you're torturing, well, they're murdering a pig. So yeah, it's a horrible sound, but I saw the horrible things. I saw the amazing things. I saw the resilience of the Ecuadorian people and the practicality of people. When I was in Peru, high elevation in the Andes Mountains, for example, and the native Indians of South America, how they grow food, right? Quinoa and papas, yuca, without using technology. And a lot of that has become knowledge that I'm hoping to finish putting in my book called Resilient Prepping. But heck, we may be in the middle of World War III before I get that book done. Who knows? But resilient prepping is about low-tech prepping. How do you survive without technology? How do you cover all the basics of food and water filtration and shelter and defense and warmth, you know, all these things, medicine, communications, without using advanced technology? That's a crucial skill set. And I learned a lot of that living outside the United States. But very few Americans have lived outside the United States. Probably most of you listening to this have done something like that or traveled extensively. So you've seen the world. And that's why you're awake and informed. But have you noticed when you're talking to somebody who's never left America, you notice how kind of oblivious they tend to be? Like, they've never read a newspaper published by a non-US based news service, you know, because the news is completely different when it's written about America by a non-American publisher. But you know that because you've probably traveled, or you've lived outside the country, or maybe you live outside right now. Maybe you're not even American and you're listening to this from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK, Hong Kong. And I know we have fans in Singapore as well. Big high five to those of you in Singapore. We love you. We love the freedom movement in Singapore. And what all of you know, all of you who live in non-US countries, you know, as I know, that the typical American is the fat, lazy, sedentary, oblivious, you know, consumer who has really very, very few skills in terms of preparedness or resilience or anything like that. For those people, life is about to become not just difficult, but perhaps impossible. Many of those people will not survive what I believe is coming. They will not survive, period. I mean, it's going to be an economic hellscape, and it begins now. And some of what we might see that's going to be particularly troublesome could be a government seizure of certain types of food. The national food supply. For example, in World War II, I believe the government nationalized the sugar supply, or exercised monopoly control over all sugar, and I think all butter and milk and some other basic staples. And you had to line up, you know, and use the government coupons. I think they had like government, like butter coupons. And you stood in line and you claimed your butter. And that's all the butter you got. Well, if there are food shortages in America, do you think Biden could step in and go full commie and just say, well, the government's going to control the food supply now, you know, in order to ensure equal distribution. And then they'll set price controls, folks. Price controls. This is how all tyrants seek to control inflation. Sooner or later, as the prices keep going up, sooner or later, one of them says, well, why don't we just set the price for bread or set the price for butter or milk or whatever? And then the minute that happens, of course, the supply is wiped out. Then the shelves are empty. Then you're going full Venezuela. And then the government comes in and starts launching, you know, investigations and prosecutorial teams to crack down on black market butter smugglers and, you know, milk bandits, you know, people trading in parking lots, Craigslist listings for, you know, bags of rice and wheat. It's all going to be criminalized and you'll be prosecuted and thrown in jail because the government has to control the food supply. That's where this is going. And if you don't believe me, just wait a year. You'll see. You'll see. I mean, almost everything that I predicted for the last 10 years has come true in the last 2 years. And there are a lot more predictions where that came from. There was a meme out there that said, hey, the conspiracy theorists who warned you of vaccine mandates, vaccine passports, perpetual lockdowns, and rampant inflation are now warning you about digital ID, social credit scores, central bank digital currencies, climate lockdowns, energy rationing. Pay attention. It's not just energy rationing. I would add to that list food riots, food price controls, you know, food rationing at the grocery stores. And in order to do that, they will have to implement a biometric mark of the beast, you know, identity system so that they can control how much food each person gets. And they did this in Venezuela too. And they'll do it with either iris scans or fingerprints or embedded microchips or some other system, but you'll have to prove your identity to buy a bag of rice, but they'll never require voter ID for elections because those will continue to be rigged by the Democrats so they can stay in power as they're destroying the world. Yeah, there's a lot coming that's not difficult to see now. And whatever food that you can get right now today is going to be the cheapest food you'll buy for the rest of your life. Mark my words, seriously. Again, whatever food you can buy right now is going to be the cheapest food you'll buy for the rest of your life. Almost certainly. Because of where all this is going. There's going to be massive scarcity, massive inflation, massive money printing. And ultimately, this is going to lead to the end of the American empire, the total collapse of the system, part of it by design. The global reset, the debt bomb implosion, the failure of the fiat currency, and the attempt to enslave all of humanity. Now, will they succeed in all of this? As I've said before, I don't think so. But this is what they're trying to do. And I think the reason they're going to fail is because of people like you and I, because of those of us who are resilient, because we are prepared, and therefore we can't be very easily intimidated. We can't be easily starved or controlled. Because we, informed people, and there are a lot of informed Americans, we have food, we have ammunition, we have, you know, precious metals, we have backup communications and radios and sat phones and everything else. We have emergency first aid, you know, and iodine and sanitizing chemicals and so on. We are prepared. And so we're difficult to control and we can survive almost anything. But that survival mindset and skill set is going to be tested. There's no question about that. So my best advice right now that I'm giving myself, actually, and I may be, sharing here with you, but it's up to you whether this applies to you or not. I am actively amping up my conversion of dollars into physical things as a store of value. For example, right now I'm looking at purchasing another tractor. Even though I don't need another tractor, I'm looking at buying one as a store of value because I know a tractor will always have value because it's part of a food production ecosystem. And it will hold value as well as gold. In a similar way, I think if you come across any kind of diesel vehicle that's in good mechanical shape and that has, let's say, fewer than 200,000 miles on it, which, you know, for a diesel engines last a very long time, you may want to consider investing in a diesel vehicle. And did you know that if you're buying a vehicle just to hold assets, you don't necessarily have to put license plates on it. You can just park it on your property, you know, where it's okay to do so. Start that diesel engine once a month or so to keep the oil flowing. And then it's an asset. And you may be able to trade it later. In hyperinflationary scenarios, used vehicles are very difficult to acquire because everybody's trying to buy them in order to get their dollars or their currency, whatever it is, into something physical. For a lot of people, that's a used vehicle. For some people, it's real estate. For other people, it's firearms or ammunition, maybe precious metals, or maybe tractors. But this is where we're headed right now. And I'm also going to stock up on more food. Fortunately, you know, I'm the founder of the Health Ranger store, so I can decide kind of how many thousand pounds of which types of foods that I want to buy. But I'm waiting for the next round of Ranger buckets, which will come out in April, and I'm probably going to personally pick up, I don't know, another 10 buckets myself, which is actually 20 buckets because it's a set. So 10 sets, which is enough food, I don't know, for several months. I don't know how long it goes. I'd have to look at the math on it again, but I'm going to get more food. I'm going to buy more survival supplies. What else am I doing? Oh, fuel. Well, I don't want to share all the secrets of what I'm doing, but I'm making sure that I have off-grid fuel. Okay. So I don't have to run to the gas station every time I need fuel for something. It's good to have your own storage tanks. And, I'm also making sure that I have plans in case there is a nuclear strike anywhere in America. I'm making sure that I have plenty of iodine. I also have Geiger counters and radiation meters. I'm making sure those are in operating order. Let's see, what else am I doing? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at air filtration systems, making sure that I can filter radioactive particles out of the air and that I have a plan to not go outside for about 2 weeks if necessary if there's a nuclear attack nearby because of the iodine-131. Radioisotope, which, what is the half-life on that? I think, isn't that 7 days? Okay, I'm checking that. It's actually, it's 8 days. Okay, the half-life is roughly 8 days. So that means in about 2 weeks, you're down to 1/4 the level that it started with. So if you have to live you know, in your house, in your bunker, in your cave, I don't know, in your bomb shelter for 2 weeks. Could you do so? So that you're not breathing in iodine-131 radioactive particles? Could you do that? Well, we may have to start thinking again like the way we did in the Cold War, like our parents or grandparents were taught in the 1960s or 70s, you know, in order to prepare for a possible nuclear strike. We do need to consider all these things. I don't want any of us to dwell on the fear, but rather to focus on the preparedness and the ability to survive all of this. And then the other thing that we need to do is politically and peacefully rise up in America and demand that Joe Biden and the other criminals be arrested, prosecuted, charged for their crimes against humanity, removed from power. Because frankly, I think if we had Trump in the Oval Office right now, we would not be in World War III. And I think our gas prices would be a lot lower. And I think that we would have more energy self-reliance. And I think our southern border would be in a better situation. Frankly, we need Trump back in office. He was the rightful victor of the 2020 election. And Biden and his cohort criminals need to be arrested and removed from power, in my opinion. Otherwise, they're going to drive us into probably thermonuclear war at some point and end up destroying America. But just rest assured, the libtards who voted for Biden, however many there were, not that many, they will cheer Russia's bombs falling on America because they hate America too. Even if they are getting nuked themselves, they will cheer it the whole way. Just like when they inject themselves with these clot shot vaccines and they go to the hospital and they almost die from the clots. And then they say, good thing I took the vaccine, or it could have been worse. Yeah, so when they're getting nuked by Russia, they'll say, good thing Russia's nuking us. If we hadn't elected Biden, this could have been worse. That's the way they think because they're cultists. They're lunatics. You know, mentally impaired, imbalanced, like lobotomized creatures, no longer even human in many cases. Oh, and by the way, those will be the first people to come begging you for food, you know, when the shortages really hit. They'll be at your door. Oh, please, I'm so sorry I mocked you for having a Trump sign in your yard. Do you have any rice to spare? And it's up to you to decide how you want to deal with those people. But make no mistake, if those people had power over you, they would kill you for a bag of rice. So, you know, just factor that into your equation of how you wish to deal with them. But for me personally, I'm just donating a lot of food and supplies to local churches. If anybody comes to me begging for help, I'm going to direct them to the church. And if they push and persist and get aggressive with me and say, well, I don't want to go to the church. I want stuff that you have. I say, well, fine. I'll just send you to heaven or hell then instead. And you can sort that out right there. So do you want to keep pushing, or would you rather just move on down the road? Your choice. I can send you to any place you want right now. But, you know, you decide how you're going to handle people. But these situations are coming, so be prepared. All right, so I know that these are very serious topics today. I know there's a lot going on. Stay informed. Watch Brighttown.com. There's going to be a lot of breaking news videos there. There's going to be a lot of coverage on Brighttown.tv today, throughout the day, because a lot of the shows are live news, current events. So definitely check it out. Brighttownradio.com as well. And I want to encourage you, do everything to get prepared. And this is real. You know, the time for just talking about this is pretty much over. You're either getting prepared or you're going to get dead, probably. I mean, not those of you listening to this, because you're pretty well prepared. But, you know, those who are oblivious, a lot of them won't make it. And I don't think that Biden's going to be arrested anytime soon. Although I hope so. I certainly hope so. But sadly, I think the lunatics are going to be in power for quite some time, and they're going to try to destroy this nation. So I'll be back with you tomorrow, of course, with more updates. I want to thank you for your time today. Check out my analysis at naturalnews.com, and then also, of course, other special reports at brighteon.com. And I pray for all of us, you and I, and even for those who are oblivious. I pray for the oblivious too. I pray that they would awaken in time and take action in time. I pray for America. Okay. We need divine intervention right now. It's not just that we need to stop war. We need to stop Satan, because it's the satanically influenced globalists who are driving us into these situations. Satan is the root of the problem here. We destroy Satan. We defeat Satan once and for all with the help of God. Then we unleash a whole new golden age of abundance and awakening and knowledge, enlightenment and joy and everything else across the planet. So let's focus on that. This is about much more than World War III. This is about the war for the future of the human existence. So don't forget the spiritual component. Thank you for listening. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Take care.